This is all in the context, then, of us talking about those Ten Commandments. And when were the Ten Commandments given? Well, they were given with Moses, so Genesis. Did that happen in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph? No, it happened at the end of Genesis. So at the end of Genesis comes the book of Exodus, which are the books of Moses, or the story of Moses. And so Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers are explaining that connection back into those human chapters that we're looking at in those first two books. And so what we've been wrestling with, and I don't know if you've been wrestling with it, but it's been really good for me. And, I'm pretty smart and I'm pretty informed, but I feel like, man, I've still got lots of stuff to learn. And I'm experiencing that from God. I'm being taught by God right now. And as I look at that, I think about my conscience and my mind and my heart and my body and my soul and my spirit and the Holy Spirit. And I think about all of the things that happen inside of me as a believer. And that's what we're talking about. And what I've presented to you is the idea, or the concept, that maybe it's the conscience is where we invite God and all of those different parts of who we are come together. But again, I'm still learning about that right now. And so maybe we'll have more to talk about. But that's kind of this context of the conversation about, why do you want to look at the Ten Commandments and just look at them and go, well, I'm not supposed to do that, I'm not supposed to do that, I'm not supposed to do that. When were the Ten Commandments given? After Job, after Adam, after Eve, after the flood, after creation, fall, flood, and tower. Then the Jews were delivered after 430 years of bondage and led out into the wilderness. And God gave them the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20. And when he did that, it wasn't like he was telling the world something the world didn't know. He basically was testifying to who he was and how people could be set free. And there was plenty of history by that point to see the bondage that came as a result. And all you have to do is just read through those chapters and you can see it, because the bondage just didn't come from other people putting it on to the people around them. It came from the inside. Bondage comes from the inside of us. And God knew that. So God basically gave us these freedom commandments, and we've looked at the first three that do focus on God and give us the idea that we're only supposed to have one God, and we're not supposed to have any idols, and we're not supposed to take his name in vain at all. And if we embrace that, we will be set free to enter into God's rest. That's what we talked about last week. That is the Sabbath, Shabbat. That's the hope of Israel. That's the hope of the Gentiles, that we can enter into God's rest. And that's what we talked about last week. And that's why we went over to the book of Hebrews, to the Hebrews, because that was explained really clearly in chapter 4 and chapter 5. That then leads us now to, okay, I've said to God, okay, I buy that. Even though my heart is idolatrous, I get that. I am not going to embrace those idols. I am not going to place other gods before me. And when I sin, I have an advocate through Jesus Christ. And if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe that. And I also think I've begun, and it's taken me a lot of years to, because I'm a doer, you know, I'm a worker. And so that whole idea of being somebody who enters into the rest of God, I understood it up here. I understand it a lot better here now. And hopefully I've got another dozen years or so to live it out and enjoy what that feels like to be able to live that way. And so he goes on, and we remember we're contrasting these are the commandments of the living God, the big ten, the Ten Commandments, and then over on the other side are the me gods. They're the idols that, you know, just like when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness after he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, what did he tempt him with? The Word of God. He took the commandments of God and he twisted the Word of God and used them to try to gain mastery over the plan of God and over the Son of God. And so today we talk about honoring mom and dad. And this is like a huge conversation. And I really would like it to be a family conversation. And if you go to fourstream.com, there's a post on this. There's like, they say conscience one, conscience two, conscience three. There's the intro is one. They don't match the Ten Commandments, except they're in the order. And you really want to take a look at this, because we can do what we can do for each other to encourage you and your kids, but it's your job, not my job. My job was with my kids, and then I contributed to my grandkids, and I love contributing whatever I can to you. But the reality is that that's parents' jobs, to take the commandments of God and bring them into their children's world. Well, that being said, the opposite of honoring mom and dad is to compromise family purpose. And that's what we're going to talk about for the next 7 to 8 minutes. So if anybody's feeling like, oh my gosh, is he going to go on forever? I'm not. I will be very succinct. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That's what watchful parenting is. Watchful parenting is me honoring my mom and dad, okay? My parents, my mom may have been a believer. I know my dad wasn't. I think my dad was crazy in some ways, you know? But to the day he died, I did everything that I could do to honor my father and my mother. Whatever I had, whatever I could give to that process. And I think that's the expectation, that we are supposed to honor our father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you. Because if you honor your parents, what are the chances? And, you know, this is tricky if your parents didn't honor you, right? It can be a really nasty deal. This is why counseling offices exist. This is why counselors charge $150 a month or a session, because this is exactly what people are struggling with this lack of honor inside of the family. And so God wants it to be well with us. So now I'm over in Ephesians, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Paul dumps that in there. That's not in the commandment. He puts it in there, and he says, so that it may be well with you. That's the purpose. That it may be well with your soul. Great song. And that you may live long. And basically that means to live fully. It's not just, oh, great, I get to live till I'm 100. It's you're going to live fully because you've honored that commandment. And if you would go to my post on this commandment, there is a sheet that we put together in the Strong Homes thing that went through Proverbs, and I spent like weeks going through Proverbs and distilling all of the major teachings on what it means to be a watchful parent. Because I saw, when I looked at the example of the Jews, that that was my job. And so I pass that along to you, and I do everything that I can as a teacher and as a pastor to provide those outlines to you. You know, will you ever spend 10 hours going through Proverbs looking specifically for those principles? Maybe, you know, if that's how you're gifted, if that's how you're motivated. I can help you do it 30 minutes. I was made for the world we live in, right? Let's make it go as quickly as we possibly can. Okay, so that's the first aspect, is being a watchful parent, because the reason that we do that is we want it to be well with us and we want it to be well with our children. And when you look at a family who didn't do this, it's not well. It's not good when you see that, either for the parent or for the kid. Well, right along with that in Ephesians, and it's almost like Paul, who I don't think ever had any kids, as far as I can tell, anything that I know from history or the scriptures, it looks like Paul was putting this commandment together with lots of other things that came out in the scriptures about family. You know, you'd think there'd be a book about family, right? The whole Bible's about family. You just have to look for it as you read it. But there's not like a book dedicated to family. The whole Bible is dedicated to family. And so the second part of this for Paul as he explains it is honor your father and your mother. But fathers, do not provoke, and basically these are my words here, misguide them into anger. Don't frustrate them. You can find that in various translations, that idea. So fathers, don't provoke, misguide them into anger or frustrate them. Have you ever seen this happen? Have you ever done this? You know, I've done this. It's not a pretty thing. And it's really not a pretty thing when you're dealing with kids who are 40 years old and you're still talking about those things together. But it happens. But bring them up. Here's the contrast. Don't exasperate them. But bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Something that our culture is botching. You know, from a culture perspective. There are people that are doing it, but this command is being ignored. And so I think about that. Well, what does that look like? I just did a post about, I'm reading Jordan Peterson's book on the 12 rules, and I'm not recommending him as a guru. I just thought it was a fascinating book when I read it philosophically. I hope he becomes a believer. I'm not sure that he is, so that's not what I'm saying. But as I look at it, I'm going, the guy wrote a chapter in there about family, and I'm going, oh my gosh, that is the clearest thing that I've ever read about the core of family and family dysfunction. And as I thought it through, it was resonating with me as he was talking, because, you know, he's a shrink, so he's talked to lots of people. He's a counselor, he's a psychologist. And this whole thing brought back our strong home conversations. And here's how we frustrate our kids. We dote on them. We dote on them. Don't give them any responsibility, and they become social brats. And when they become social brats, nobody likes them. This is a bad thing to do to your kid. However you feel about discipline, however you feel about instruction, doting is not even in the realm of anything that God considers. Second thing, neglect, which makes our children very insecure about their identities. And I go back to the whole idea about this is why people are working through their things. Because a lot of parents have been neglected. A lot of you guys have been neglected. You know, I understand that. I was neglected in some aspects. I had an intact family, but I was neglected on emotional levels, which I had to give to God, and I had to work through with God. So neglect results in an insecure identity. And so here you've got social brats who nobody likes. And then if they had parents that did a bad job, which that is part of doing a bad job, then their identity is not secure. And then third of all, there are parents who frustrate their children by manipulating them, and maybe worse, teaching them how to manipulate through their example. And it is devastating. Devastating to the family to do that. And that results in a devaluing of who I am, who my son and my daughter are, who my grandsons and my granddaughter is. It's a devaluing of who they are as people. Which then results in them not knowing what their values are. And what do you do with that? How do you live in a world where you don't know what your values are, but you've got all of these voices saying, I can tell you what it is. This is what the value is. And then they get accepted into a group of people who are full of it, but they're showing love and care and acceptance and concern. This is how cults work. You know, this is how re-education of people happens historically. Just read it and look at it. That's how it happens. And so here we are, able fully to not fail in God. Why? Because we can be a perfect parent? I gave up on that a long time ago. What I am is I'm a submitted parent. I submit myself to God. When I succeed, I give God the glory and I feel good about it. When I fail, I go to God and ask forgiveness. And if I need to apologize to my child or my grandchild, I do it. It's the best I can do. Because I don't want to fail in God as a parent. So, how do we compromise family purpose? Because that's what we're talking about in this commandment. Because that's what he's going for. He wants us to honor our father and our mother. But why? It's because family is supposed to look like something that's life-giving and freeing and setting us free and making us able to live in supernatural ways in a world that is living differently than that. Don't obey God if you want to compromise your family purpose. Second thing, don't discipline or nurture. Then that's how you're going to compromise your family purpose. You know, I don't expect everybody's discipline and instruction life to look the way ours did. You know, but there are principles that need to be wrestled with. Third, don't cultivate love and respect with your kids. Don't show it, because these are the two principles that are in all the marriage passages, especially the one in Peter, is that husbands, see to it that you love your wives. Wives, see to it that you respect your husband. Don't do that. And your children will struggle as a result of it. And finally, this is what kind of ends up happening in the process, in the parenting process. And I don't know, I'm around people that are 65-year-old kids now. So when I listen to their family stories and I watch my own family story and, you know, my only other living brother right now hasn't talked to me for 3 years. So all of that stuff that happens in family, well, then we dump each other. We dump each other and we don't honor either one another and we don't honor God. So I realize that's kind of heavy, but you know, the Ten Commandments are kind of heavy. Why are they heavy? Because they were given when they were given because mankind is sliding off from a cliff. And God designed the family. You know, God the Father, God the Son, Lady Wisdom. Why is she called Lady Wisdom in the scriptures? Why do you think that is? It's God's family. I'm still trying to sort out where that fits in with the Holy Spirit, but I'm working on it. Still have things to learn. So, I knew that all would make you happy, make you feel good, make you feel warm and fuzzy. But I'm telling you, these commandments, these teachings, these messages that come from the scriptures are desperately needed in our culture. And you might be the only person in your part of your world that can even respond to it, articulate it, and care enough to pass the principles on to people around you. And how easy is that to do in the environment that we're in right now? You know, it's like you can't even talk about COVID without people getting upset. How in the world are you going to begin to talk about family life and the Ten Commandments and living that way? But God opens doors for that. If we're looking, and if we're brave, and if our heart is where our heart's supposed to be.